that even though we're sinners, we can come home. Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered on the old rugged cross and died for our sins and was raised again for our justification, so we can stand before you in your righteousness in Christ. We thank you for the love displayed there. I pray it convict our hearts and our lives, and it will be our lead light in our lives of where we need to go, and will guide us in our thoughts, our minds, our directions, and our judgments in everything. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather here. We thank you for your word, that we could trust in it, and that it is all truth, and that we could have the hope of glory set before us, read about it, understand it, and then all the manifold wisdom that you've delivered to us in your word, so we can grow thereby. I pray, Lord, that if there's any here that haven't trusted in Christ, this would be the day that they would trust. And for those here that have trusted, I pray that the words will edify, build up, and strengthen all here, so we go through this present evil world with the confidence and hope that only comes through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. We have been talking last month plus about long-suffering. So we have been over a month on long-suffering. So this morning I want to talk to you about short-suffering. Thanks, Tim. Somebody paying attention. Anyhow, no, it's going to be on long-suffering. Just turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We've been in here a few weeks. Once again, and a little repetitive here, but for those of you that weren't here or don't pay attention, maybe you'll catch it now. Just saying. The reason why long-suffering came into my mind is because we saw, and I started with Exodus chapter 34, and it talked about God. And it gave some descriptiveness of who he is and his makeup, his character. And one of the things there was long-suffering. And so with us that have believed in the gospel, we have the Spirit of God in us. Well, if the Spirit of God is in us, and it is by faith in Christ, then the character of God is to be manifested out. And one of those things is long-suffering. Now, we're going to take a real turn in this, but keep in mind throughout this message, the bottom line of it all is long-suffering, and I want to show you in Ephesians 4 why Paul would mention long-suffering, why it shows up there. Because by the way, folks, words didn't just drop into place. They're specifically put there for a point and a purpose where they're at. As Brother Moore would used to say it, you believe it as it says it, where it says it. There's a reason for it to be there in Ephesians 4, and I'm going to show you why long-suffering is there. So in verse 1, he says, I therefore, Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And we're just going to hold up right there. Now, I want you to understand that when he starts off in Ephesians chapter 4, it concerns your walk. Concerns your walk, because he says it in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you what? Walk worthy. So it's about a walk. Well, in that walk, you to incorporate the things he talks about. That verse 2, lowliness, meekness with long suffering. So long suffering shows up there. Well, then our walk, it is incumbent upon us to incorporate long-suffering within our lives also. But I want to show you why long-suffering shows up at this point of time in the Scripture. To make note before we get started, in verse 4 he says, there is one body. So we use the board here. And everything's about time in your Bible as a ministry of Christ to his death, to his burial, and his resurrection. All right? Paul out here, who was Saul, he'll be Paul here on out, in Acts chapter 9, got saved. When Paul got saved on the road to Damascus there, the truth of Ephesians 4, verse 4, there is one body took place. One body took place there. First one saved is Paul. Now, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. By the way, who was the first one saved? Was he a Jew? God saved a Jew for a reason. And the reason was that he would take this gospel that was given to him, by which he was saved. There's one hope. There's one gospel for this one body that started with the salvation of the Apostle Paul. He said Christ is the head. Paul was the first one to be in the body, and therefore it was added to the body those that trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as it is today. Now, with that said, turn to Acts chapter 13. Paul said to the Jew first. Well, Paul's ministry, as he was going forth, every city he went into, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Why? Because he was commissioned, commanded by God Almighty that the gospel was to go to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Greeks or Gentiles. Now watch this. I'm just going to pull out one account here. Acts 13 works very well. So what I'm doing is I'm taking a topic, and some of you are not going to be totally in on it because you haven't really subjected yourself to the teaching of it, but you'll be able to see it. You're going to get into some areas where you don't quite understand. That's fine. But on Wednesday night when I do this, it covers weeks. And that way I can break it down. I got input. People ask questions. And it's a little more one-on-one type thing. So this may go by some of you, but pay attention because there's going to be enough here where you're going to learn something. So Paul begins his ministry going to the Jew first. Now, to do that, he finds the Jews in these cities as he got into a city in the synagogue. And here he is in the synagogue at Antioch. Go down. You're in Acts 13, right? I told you that. All right. Verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Men of Israel, Jews. And ye that fear God, give audience. Well, we're going to find, we know who the men of Israel are. It's those Jews. And ye that fear God, we're going to find out who these people are right there. Go over to, you're in Acts 13, go over to Acts 13, verse 26, same chapter. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, now watch, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Well, the salvation there has to do with the good news that Paul received. He was first to receive it, how that Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised again for our justification. That word of salvation was sent to them, men of Israel, and whosoever among you feareth God. How do I know it's his people? Well, we go a little further. Verse 42. Still addressing them. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue. Oh, by the way, I'm going to give you a little heads up on this reading. I'm going to misread it. See if you catch it. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next day. You see, they're Gentiles there, right? What? And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next day. So, you had the Gentiles there the next Sabbath. Why did they want to hear it the next Sabbath? Because they rendered honor to the children of God Almighty. That's God's people, these Jews here. And so they wanted to hear these words spoken to them the next Sabbath, not the next day. Why? Because the Jews had the preeminence in their relationship with God. Therefore, Gentiles that feared God, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. And so he goes to the Jew first, and in that synagogue was some Gentiles there that feared God. And when they heard this word of salvation, they wanted to hear about it. It was sent to them also. And so within this body of work, these people in that synagogue, not all of them, some of them, believed this gospel. When they believed, they made up this one body. So, at the formation of this one body by the gospel was both Jew and Greek, Jew and Gentile, but it was one body. Always has been and always will be. I need you to pay attention here and quit yakking, okay? Pay attention. This was one body by this gospel. It started off that way, and when the rapture comes, guess how many bodies there's going to be? One body. Why? There's one head. So, you've got Christ the head, one body formated here, and you've got Jew and Gentile. From the inception of this thing, there was Jew and Gentile. Now, once again, this is about long-suffering, and I want to show you why it shows up in Ephesians. There's a purpose for it. So, with that said, turn back to Ephesians and go to chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. By the way, the critics of this teaching call this hyper-dispensationalism. I call it correct. All right, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, he says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time," that's a reference to verse 11, time pass, "that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." So, we want to look at these couple of verses here. Revisit verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh." Keep in mind time past. Verse 12, "that at that time you were without Christ." Now, would those that are fouled up doctrinally say, the time passed and ye were without Christ, they say, well, that went before the body of Christ was formed. It went before Paul's salvation and you were without Christ. Duh. Listen, every word in this book is grammatically perfect. Think about it. Every word placed in a King James Bible is grammatically perfect, meaning God knew exactly what he was saying when he wrote the book. If they were without Christ and Paul is writing before he got saved that they were without Christ, without God in the world, it wouldn't be written that way. To be grammatically correct, this is how it would read if it goes before Paul's salvation. This is how it would read. Verse 12, "that at that time we were without Christ." He didn't say we. So he's not going back before he was saved. Because if he went back and is referring to time past before he was saved, he would say at that time, we were without Christ. It's grammatically perfect. You understand? Don't mess with the book. Believe it as it says it, where it says it. So when he refers to time past, he said, ye were without Christ. So during the time that the body was formed, you had this Jew and Greek, one body. But there were some people in that time that was without Christ. Because remember, it's all about time. This Bible is a book of time. So, Paul continues his ministry, and as he goes down, ultimately, there is a whole world of Gentiles out there. Well, we saw some that were in the synagogue. The Gentiles were in there. You know why? They feared God. And the only way a Gentile could get to God was through Israel. Ultimately, what happened is the Jews in every quarter of the country that Paul went to, the different countries, they pursued him to kill him. So consequently, over time, the Bible says in Romans that the Jews diminished. In other words, their importance in the ministry of Paul diminished also. He gradually was run out of those towns, kept away. The Spirit forbade him once to go into Jerusalem, for they would have killed him. So what God did is show Paul a mystery. It's not in your Bible in the Old Testament, so don't buy into that. It was revealed to Paul, and this is it. That the gospel that these that first believed and got saved by is now sent out to these Gentiles. And it's been that way for about 1950 years. And folks, the Jews aren't getting the gospel preached to them in priority. It's just not happening. It happened during the days of Paul. So consequently, those Jews diminished, and God foresaw that if he brought the gospel out to these Gentiles, guess what they'd do? Acts 28 tells you. Turn to Acts 28. Now, we're coming back to Ephesians 2, by the way. Stay tuned, guys. There's a stunning conclusion to all this. Acts 28, Paul's ending his, well, he's not ending his life. He's at the end of his life. He's locked up. He's in a Roman sort of a hired house, it's called. It's like a prison. He's restricted to it, but he has liberty in the sense of he can walk out. He can go out. He's not chained in this place. He can welcome visitors. People visited Paul. So that he was captive. He was a prisoner, but he had liberties. And here's where he's at. Some Jews come to visit him, and God had noted the Jews treating Paul badly. By the way, that's why he's in Rome, and that's a whole different storyline. Verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. Now that's these Jews. And after that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people, that's the Jews, and say, hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, the Jews that came to visit him, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. In God's infinite wisdom, not limited by anything, he foresaw that the gospel that was sent here first to the Jew first, also to the Greek, the Jews would reject Paul as they rejected John the Baptist and the prophets back there. They killed all the prophets, by the way. Then they rejected the Son of God himself and had him killed. Then they began persecuting and killing the apostles. So God raises up Paul, and he sent to the Jew first. And as their tradition was, what do? They go to kill Paul. But Paul did get this gospel out to some Jews, and they got saved along with the Gentiles that were in there, and they're part of the one body. So later, as Paul was being persecuted and ultimately winds up in a Roman prison cell, so to speak, he gets the wisdom that God gave unto him that this gospel that was restricted to here is now going out to these Gentiles. That's why when he writes to them in Ephesians chapter 2, remember that ye, in time past were without Christ. Well, it's not before Paul was saved. It was back here. Because he wasn't taking the gospel out to these Gentiles. Why? These Gentiles, listen, these Gentiles would never set foot in a synagogue. They were idol worshipers. They hated Israel. They're the ones that made war with Israel. They had nothing to do with Israel. Consequently, they were strangers from the covenants of promise. They had no hope. And they were without God in the world. And so, what happened? This gospel gets brought out over here. Same gospel. There's a oneness that runs throughout the body of Christ. So, now you've got these saved. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now watch this. For he is our peace, all inclusive now, not ye peace, our peace, and have broken and have made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the wall of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Well, when these Gentiles got saved, they were brought into the body. How many bodies are there? One. From the starting of Paul all the way to the rapture, there has been, there is, and there will only be one body. One. However, I see a weird word challenging one there. Let's look at it again. Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity. What's the enmity? It's an enemy, right? What is it, though? Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Now watch. For to make in himself of twain one new man. What is twain? Not Mark. Don't put Mark before it. Not Mark Twain. What is twain? It's two. So all of a sudden we've had this one body. Then the word two pops up. Well, it never was two bodies. It was always one. What did you have? You had of twain, two groups in the one body. Well, what was separating them to make it two groups? The enmity, which is what? The law of commandments contained in ordinances. Where'd they come from? This bunch right here. These Jews. Why? They were all about their ordinances. They were all about the commandments. So they got saved, and these were already compatible with them. Why? We saw in Acts 13. They went to Paul after he finished preaching and said, Paul, we want to hear these words the next what day? Sabbath. Sabbath is part of the ordinances. Keep the Sabbath. So they were compatible with these Jews. However, once this group got saved, that's some rough, tough characters. So while these Gentiles, now watch, are saved, part of the one body, these Gentiles are observing the ordinances of these Jews. Respect, diligence, commitment to it, honoring them. They're saved, but they're keeping the law of commandments. So what was there? A wall. So when these got saved, you had one body, but you had two groups. Two groups in one body. So what did God do? Acts 28. You're blind, you're deaf, and your heart is stopped up. So God's going to take the word of this salvation from you, and he's going to send it out to these Gentiles, and they will hear it. And folks, that's why we have salvation today. When you see this process take place, you go, God is unbelievable for bringing the salvation to a bunch of heathenistic, idol-worshipping, I don't care about God people. And then they see the grace through the Lord Jesus Christ that he also died for us and was buried and raised again. And when you trust in him, you're in the same body that these were, and you're in the body with these were. And guess what, folks? God broke down this middle wall of partition between them that was contained in ordinances, and he made of twain one new man with one body. It's always been one body, and it always will be. And so, consequently, he took that which stood between them. Because what happens now, Ephesus, we're reading Ephesians, a city. By the way, go back there and read Paul's churches. Where did the believers gather? Where would they assemble? What about when it went out from the synagogue? And they believed and they had to leave because the unbelieving Jews persecuted them. Homes. Not mega churches. People that love the truth are few in number, always has been, and always will be. So don't be discouraged in your faith about this. So then, ye, the ye's here, eat anything. Anything. The ye's here have no respect towards any holy day. They don't know them and they don't care about them. So what happened when they met in a home and you had these and these come together? Either God had to leave up the commandments and keep the wall between them, causing strife and contention, or he had to remove it. He removed it. You know why? Because the salvation of God, which they rejected, is now going out to these Gentiles and has been that way for over 1,900 years. So there's no reason for us today to honor the Sabbath. If I told you we're going to meet on the next Sabbath, you'd have to find out what day that is. Oh, it's Sunday. No, it's not. So, by the way, we're reading Ephesians. One of the epistles after Ephesians is Colossians. After this truth was revealed, watch what he writes to the Colossians. So turn in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. Now watch. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. That body then is not to be judged in those things which originally it was being judged with and by, because the commandments were set in place by these Jews. But as it gradually turned to these Gentiles, he then writes, let no man judge you in these things. So, folks, breaking news, there are no Pentecostals today. They don't exist. Just like an atheist does not exist. They're not there. Well, what about people that say they don't believe in God? Well, David wrote in the Psalms, the fool saith in his heart there is no God. There are fools out there, not atheists. There are no Pentecostals. Why? There's no respect of holy days today. There's no Seventh-day Adventist. Why? There's no respect of holy days. The Sabbath was a holy day unto the Lord. It's not there. Boy, the devil, man, I'm shocked that this body has endured 2,000 years with the cunning craftiness of the devil. That's a formidable enemy. And the only thing you have in your warfare to battle him is the Word of God, a King James Bible. Stand on it. That's why we're not going to be moved from it. It doesn't matter who shows up or who don't. If you got people saved that don't have the wherewithal within their soul to come hear the Word of God, let them go out in the world and let the world have them and tear them apart. Tear them apart. Who cares? Care for yourself. Care enough about this word to show up and hear these things and see the beauty of salvation brought unto us Gentiles. Glad Mike's got a little spark over there. Let no man judge you. We've got liberty in Christ. And he's not talking about liberty to go out and fulfill the lust of our flesh. He's talking about the liberty from the commandments of the ordinances that were put in place. We got a gospel. Good news. There isn't but one of them. It's one hope. In Ephesians chapter 4, it's all about the one hope. And Paul says, in your walk, to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, striving to keep the unity of the Spirit, and you do it with long-suffering. You remember, that's the theme of the message, right? So how did long-suffering come here? What is long-suffering? It's to suffer. It's to tolerate something that disagrees with you for a long time. Guess what you had there? You had these law-abiding, commandment-keeping Jews that were saved, and you had these rebels out here, and now they're together. Well, what do you think they needed to abide in a house together and meet to hear the Word of God? Long-suffering! You see, the Word didn't just drop there out of happenstance. Paul put it there for a reason. Long-suffering. So now, we don't have Jews in here. What do we have? A bunch of Gentiles that have different desires, wish, taste, personality, and character. And we don't agree amongst each other. So what do we incorporate because of that? Long-suffering. We tolerate it. Why? For the betterment and the good of the body of Christ. To hear the Word of God. That's why we put up with it. You might have to go home and kick a cat. And that's even if you're not mad. But you may be angry. I will not follow that rabbit. But you may be upset with someone. Then why don't you put on a pair of long-suffering jeans and walk in? Put them on! Tolerate it! I mean, it ain't nails in your hands and feet, my friends. It ain't a whip on your back. It ain't being shackled in a jail cell with no attorney to help you. And it ain't being spit in the face and having your beard pulled out. Or being stoned to death. It's just tolerating somebody that's not doing what I want them to do. Take it somewhere else. Not here. Leave out of here. You had issues? Marshall, the title of the message is Kick the Cat. Go home and kick the cat. Do it in the privacy of your own home. Video it for us, so I want to see it. Oh, you see, folks, why long-suffering shows up where it shows up there in Ephesians? Paul knew what was going on. So, the Lord knew. This is a rebel bunch here. But He also knew that you would believe the gospel. And they're still out there. Hint, Malena, was it? They're still out there. Find them. Doesn't take anything. Folks, best thing you do, you ever talk about death, people getting killed? Say, well, that's going to ultimately come, but I know where I'm going. Boom! There it is. And you just see where it goes from there. You don't have to shove anything down anybody's throat. It never worked. So we've got this gospel, the good news. The best good news in the world today. Salvation is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us so we could have eternal life. And folks, by all means, keep long-suffering in your day-to-day life. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for this time and opportunity to gather and hear Your Word. Pray if there's any here that hadn't trusted in Jesus Christ, that do so today so that they could be saved. And Lord, we pray for those that take the faith for granted and don't put a premium on it, and that they wouldn't be caught in the snare of the devil, but see their ways and be committed to the faith. And we pray these things, and we thank You for all that we have in Christ Jesus. But most of all, Lord, we look for that glorious appearing to catch us out of this present evil world. Till that comes, keep us strong in the faith and focused on Your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.